This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Here's a tip from Ovechkin. And a shot here from the outside. And it's in front of a score. And Alex Ovechkin got it. The tip of a shot from the left point. The great eight has 890 goals. It's 6-4. He needs five to pass Wayne Gretzky for the all-time record.
John Walton on Caps Radio yesterday. Nine games to get the five to break the record. He's got a shot to do it before the end of the regular season. Good morning. The Caps lost the game yesterday. They got drilled by Buffalo 8-5. But Ovi's goal, number 890. His scoring pace of 0.70 goals per game means we're roughly 7 to 8 games away. Just over 7 games away from the record breaker. If he stays on that pace, that would put it at home against Columbus on Sunday afternoon, April 13th, or on the road against the Islanders two nights later on April 15th, tax day. Denton is here with me. Two guests on the show today, John Talti from CBSSports.com at 10:20. We'll talk the Maryland situation and also talk about the games from over the weekend. We have a Final Four. Four number one seeds make it to San Antonio. First time that's happened since 2008, where, by the way, the Final Four was in San Antonio. Ben Standig is at the NFL owners' meetings in Palm Beach. He'll join us at 12. And I will, here in just a few moments, get to more of my thoughts on Maryland being in search mode for a new basketball coach for the second time in 3 years. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, Denton, let's kick it off with a what do you got? So I am interested to see what comes out of these league meetings with respect to a lot of the rules proposals, including seeding in the NFL playoffs. We'll see if somehow that gets put on the vote docket. Imagine, you know, being a division champion with, say, a 7-10 or an 8-9 record and you don't get a home game. I think that's right. I think that's what they should be doing. Again, I think the teams qualifying for the playoffs should qualify the same way. Four division winners, three wild cards in each conference. But I then think they should be seeded based on record. But what is getting the most attention is the tush push. The tush push, according to ESPN, banning it, which was the Packers' proposal, has support within the competition committee. Apparently yesterday they have a meeting in which the league office staff presents the rules proposals that they're going to discuss in the upcoming week. And during this meeting, things got heated. They got heated between Howie Roseman, general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, and then there were coaches like Sean McDermott and Sean McVay. The conversations were discussed as outside of the hallway, private but animated about the Packers' proposal. Green Bay listed two reasons for its proposal to ban the tush push, player safety being one, pace of play being the other. Multiple sources tell ESPN that there's been no injury data to support the ban, but rather a hypothetical conversation centered on potential injuries. And I think it's based on what Frankie Louvu did in the NFC Championship game with defensive players jumping. That is also a pace of play issue, but jumping head first over the line of scrimmage. That is a risk, as is, according to the Packers, again, with no real data to support it, offensive linemen, because of their bent posture, operating in a very narrow window, which could lead to neck injuries. It's not backed by data, one club executive said. It was all subjective. Another source in the competition committee meeting said that it's not about player safety. It's just a different play, and it looks different. Now, the play was run 101 times last year of the 35,415 plays run. So 0.28% of the plays run were tush pushes, and almost all of them were by Philadelphia or Buffalo. And Atlanta Falcons CEO and competition committee chair Rich McKay said, quote, "The thing that nobody likes about the discussion we are having and the question being asked is that the rule is directed towards two teams. We have rules that come in about some play or some tactic or something that was never contemplated and all of a sudden was introduced, and there is a rule put up to say maybe we shouldn't have that tactic or that play. So I don't think any of us like the fact that there are teams associated with this rule proposal," meaning the Bills and the Eagles. I hope it passes. To me, it's not about Philadelphia specifically or Buffalo specifically, even though it looks like a place of pettiness from where I and any other team in the NFC East is coming from. It really isn't. For me, it is a play that doesn't look like a football play. It is a pace of play issue. I will say this too, and I've said this before, and Denton and I talked about it after the NFC Championship game. If you're going to continue to allow this play to be a legal play, you cannot limit a defense's creativity in trying to stop it. Even if that means timing on consecutive plays in a goal-to-go situation over and over and over again, trying to time it to stop it by jumping over the pile. The idea that a touchdown was on the verge of being awarded because the defense was trying to stop the other team from scoring is absurd. If you're going to allow the play to continue, and by the way, I've mentioned this many times, it's not always about the play on fourth and one or fourth and less than one. Philadelphia runs it and considers running it on third down and two. If you like to see third and two and a half, tush, push, tush, push, I don't like it. Okay, that's a subjective thing. I don't like to watch it. I don't think it looks like football. But you certainly, if you are going to keep it in play, you cannot limit a defense being creative or even being high risk in its attempt to stop it. That's ridiculous. That reeks of one-sided proposal snatching. You know, like, we like Philadelphia making it. We don't like defenses stopping it. We love to watch Josh Allen take it on fourth and one and get some help and push it through. This is going to be really interesting tomorrow morning to see if it passes in the competition committee, which then it would have to pass 24 of the 32 owners after that. Lots of things going on at the owners' meetings this week. Ben Standing will join us at 12 with more on all of that. Adam Peters is scheduled to speak this morning as well. So we will hopefully have some of that sound a little bit later on. All right, so Kevin Willard did leave, as expected. I had so many of you saying, "God, you're talking about this as if it's over. You're going to look really stupid if it doesn't happen." Well, I did preface with, we have a chance of looking dumb if he decides and changes his mind and comes back. But it was always, you know, a really strong possibility, highly, highly likely, which is why we had the conversations accordingly. So, look, his exit was messy, no doubt. No doubt. In my opinion, while there is no easy way to leave, and any departure would have been met with, especially from this fan base, with, you know, a vicious traitor kind of response, Kevin's exit in particular was marked with too much information from him that ironically actually may lead to a better situation for the next coach that replaces him. More on that in a moment. But it tarnished him in the process. There's no way to get away from that. It's true. Bottom line is, it didn't appear when he said to me on this show a week ago, tomorrow, and you know, at various other times, that if he got what he needed from Maryland to put the program in position to competing at the highest levels of the sport, he would stay. You know, it certainly turns out that he didn't stay because Maryland responded to his public outing of the athletic department and the school's support of basketball with, according to the school, and I've talked about this last week, all of my sources had told me the same thing, that they gave him everything he wanted, you know, increased compensation, increased rev share numbers to pay players, you know, a focus on basketball and an understanding. It's amazing that it's taken this long for people inside that university when anybody with a half a brain paying attention has known this for their entire lifetime, that Maryland and the fans have a passion for basketball more than any other sport. All right. And the chances of it winning a national championship and competing consistently at the highest levels of the sport are much greater in men's basketball than they are in football. But Maryland, according to the school, when they put out a press release about this, but we knew it last week, they came to the table with everything Kevin asked for. Now, the one thing they could not give him, because it takes time, is an AD, an athletic director. You know, we didn't know, you know, who that athletic director that will replace Damon Evans is. So they couldn't give him any comfort there, but what I was told is that they promised him that the new hire would be more basketball friendly, for the lack of a better description, than what the school has had in recent years. So, he's gone, the exit wasn't pretty, that's now over. And now, it's time for Maryland to get things right. Because a few things in this moment, for you people that care about this, and I know it's not everybody, so bear with me. But if you're like me, and I know many of you are, that you love Maryland basketball, you love Maryland, period. A few things are true at the same time. I think a lot of people in our fan base have overlooked this. One, yes, the exit was messy. But two, and this is much more important, he's now the second consecutive good basketball coach that has said, I don't like this place, I want out. Mark Turgeon was fed up with it. Kevin Willard wasn't thrilled here either. Now, for Kevin, there may have been other reasons, including some personal reasons why he wanted out, but a big part of it was what he said a week ago Thursday. The commitment has to be greater if you want to compete at the highest levels of this sport. I thought of something over the weekend, and it is a story that I was involved in. So bear with me, but I think it's applicable here because it just reminded me of what I'm going to say about where Maryland is right now. So about roughly 10 years ago, I had Mike Shanahan. Tommy and I had Mike Shanahan on our radio show. It was Mike's first public interview after being fired about a year and a half earlier, whatever it was at that point. So it was late 2014, early 2015, something like that. And the team was not happy, Denton. They were not happy that I booked Mike to come on the show, where he aired out a lot of things during that interview. He was on with us for like an hour that day, and it got a lot of attention, not just here, but throughout NFL circles. And they were not happy that I put him on the show. Well, there are two things at work. Number one is that was, and I've talked about this before, but that was kind of the beginning of the time frame in which literally people out there were trying to sabotage the station. They were giving the head coach and the general manager to our competitor and wouldn't give them to us. They were giving the best players to our competitor. They wouldn't give them to us. It was a crazy time. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but I got called, not by Snyder or the, you know, people at his level, but below, more in the sort of PR and communications area, I'll just say. And I got called into a conference call in which I got ripped up one side and down the other. And I said, well, you don't help us, number one. But number two, and I said to them, I said, you know, you should be less they were pissed that it was an ugly interview. It was anti-team, the whole thing. And how could somebody like me, who was an all-time great fan, I'm like, well, that's not my job here. I am a fan, no doubt. And I am a fan. But you got to be honest in this format or it'll never work. But I said to them, I said, you know, take this for what it's worth. But you should be more interested in why I'm less passionate about the team than what just happened having Mike Shanahan on the show. Why is someone who was a massive, lifelong, in the DNA fan, why do they feel differently about the team now? And that's what you should be focused on. Now, you guys can't be focused on it, but at some point, the owner should look himself in the mirror and say, why are some of the most passionate fans less passionate about the team? And to me, that's where Maryland is right now. This is a look in the mirror moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is that moment in which, okay, what's happened has happened. All right? Let fans, you know, go nuts and call Willard names and threaten him. I mean, ironically, these are the same people in most cases that were calling for his head 2 months ago when he was 1-3. I mean, that's the nature of sports and sports fans. Like, Philadelphia Eagles fans wanted Sirianni fired. You know, I thought he was a dope. Eagles fans wanted him gone. He wins the Super Bowl. Not that Kevin Willard won the national championship, but he obviously turned the season around. But for those that are not familiar with this story, literally the fan base was screaming, fire this moron, in early January, because he started 1-3 in the Big Ten. It was the wrong hire. You know, he can't win close games. He can't win on the road. We made a big mistake. Who's next? Who are we going to get next? Also, I would mention that many of the fans right now that are just up in arms over him leaving and the way he left, and it's more about the way he left, but they would have been up in arms had he just left without any mention of Villanova during the process. It's funny how also, so this is fandom. I get it. It's like, good luck, Villanova. You got a crappy coach. Really, then what are we so upset about that he's leaving? Anyway, they ripped him. They wanted him out in January. If Derek Queen doesn't make that shot against Colorado State, They would have wanted him out. They would have been good riddance. Thanks. You can't win the big one. You can't even get us to the second weekend. But anyway, back to Maryland. You know, the adults, the people who are supposed to be the grown-ups, the adults, the people who kind of need and are required and have the responsibility of thinking, you know, logically, not emotionally, like good businesses do, and learn from what happened and then, you know, make the associated changes and be better for the next guy. Kevin may have left this place in a better stead for the new coach because it looks like the university finally, you know, gave him what he wanted. Let's hope they'll give the new guy what he wanted. What he brought to everybody's attention, you know, if the university, the athletic department, the new AD when they hire him, if they provide the next coach with what they appeared to have been willing to provide Kevin Willard in terms of overall compensation, rev share dollars for hoops, and overall recognition that Maryland people care about basketball first and foremost. It's not that people dislike football. We'd love to be good in football. I was really pumped up, you know, not because they were contending for Big Ten titles or playoff berths, but I love the fact that Mike Locksley put together 3 straight 8-win seasons and bowl wins. I mean, you know, would I like to be a playoff team in football? Would love it. I've lived long enough to know what, you know, stirs the drink for Maryland sports fans. It's men's basketball, number one. And then as Coach Thompson would say, you count 5 spots till you get to whatever number 2 is. But the next coach at Maryland could end up being the beneficiary of what Kevin Willard ended up getting the university to understand and to commit to. Now, to me right now, like I'm in this situation, and those of you that have been involved in things other than just being a screamer, you start thinking about what the solutions are. Because that's done. He gone. You have to recognize that he is your second consecutive good basketball coach that said, nah, this place isn't for me. Whatever the reasons are. The exit was messy. All of that's true. But at the core, it wasn't good enough for a good basketball coach. Maryland should not be a stepping stone program. It's look in the mirror time. It's let's get it right for the next guy. Let's make sure that whomever we hire isn't 3 or 4 years from now also wanting to get out. I can only tell you the reasons that I've heard and that you've read. You know, football is the revenue generator because they're in the Big Ten and there's this massive television deal. All right? And so, of course, and by the way, football's a more expensive product because there's a lot more players. So the lion's share of the rev share dollars are going to go towards football. Everybody understands that. Nobody's saying, oh, well, basketball should get all the money. Nobody's saying that. But what Kevin, you know, emphasized, brought to light for a lot of people, and clearly stirred up a hornet's nest out there, is that it's not enough. Not if you want to be here with a chance to go a couple of games further more consistently. So I hope it's out there much less about the way it just ended, because that's over, and about the solution and about getting the next one right. So the next dude who can coach, Kevin Willard's a good coach, Mark Turgeon's a good coach, that they don't want out. And they don't see other places. Now, Mark hasn't gone back to coaching. He's had opportunities. He hasn't taken any. They love the area living here. But this should not be a stepping stone to Villanova. I was wrong when I first said, when this first came about and the rumors were out there that Villanova had Kevin Willard on their short list, that Maryland was a better basketball school or a better job than Villanova. And I did say, just slightly, because of it being in the Big Ten. I said the Big East has instability. The Big Ten is, along with the SEC, super stable. And because of that, now it's a better job. I was wrong. It wasn't. But it needs to be from this point forward. Couple of things to add to this. Number one is that, you know, I want to make sure that I emphasize that I think this is true, but I don't know it for sure. It's been reported out there, but I don't know for sure. I haven't heard it from anybody at the university. And that is that Kevin Willard's buyout was like between $1.5 million and $2 million. That is a, if true, that is a horribly negotiated contract with Kevin Willard on the front end. He has 4 years left on his deal. He had 4 years left on his deal. What I've been told by multiple people in athletic departments is that on average, if you've got 4 years left on your deal and you're getting paid close to $4 million a year, the buyout should be between $4 and $5 million. If the buyout had been between $4 and $5 million, probably none of this of the last couple of weeks happens because the buyout's too costly. I'm not about to suggest about specific to anybody, whether it's the athletic director, whether or not it's the CFO, or whether or not it's the search firm. But if that's true, that was not smart in the way they built his contract. They made it very easy for him to get plucked. Can't do that. These are the things you need to learn from. Everything needs to be sharper. Got to have some sharper tools in the tool shed moving forward. And much more of a recognition, for whatever reason, they're saying out there, well, I didn't know that basketball was what our fans care about the most. I'm not saying everybody. There are plenty of people that understand that out there. But in terms of the ultimate decision makers, hopefully now they understand that it's a popular product. And it can be even more popular if supported in the right way. You've lost two coaches back-to-back who said Maryland wasn't good enough. So learn from it. Create solutions. Be better next time. Doesn't change the fact that the exit was messy. Both things are true. We do have a guest coming up on the show. John Talti writes for CBSSports.com. He actually wrote a lot of detail about the Kevin Willard exit. He also covers college hoops for CBSSports.com. And there were some pretty good games since we last left you. Friday night, the Purdue-Houston game, Denton, was great. I actually really thought that even though we didn't have a competitive game yesterday, watching Houston's defense in that game against Tennessee, it reminded me a bit of the Baylor National Championship team, like just flat-out grown men. And remember what they did to Gonzaga in the final? I have a feeling that's a possibility against Duke. And then Auburn beating Michigan State, I mean, had an all-time moment with Jani Broom coming, you know, out of the tunnel, Willis Reed style, after being injured, a shoulder, and the first touch, he knocks down a three. That game never got close enough for it to be considered a really good game, but I thought the level of play was really, really high-end. When you consider the way both teams defended, the way both teams rebounded, the way both teams run half-court offense, that was actually a phenomenal basketball game to watch. Two really good teams, well-coached. I liked Michigan State going into the game yesterday, but Auburn really was outstanding. And now we get Auburn, Florida, and we get Duke-Houston. That Duke-Houston game, I have, not that Duke is as finesse as Gonzaga was, but I remember Denton before that final. I had Baylor for the maximum allowed because I thought that they were men and Gonzaga had college students playing for their team. And it was a beatdown. And I think Houston has that ability. And remember what the questions were about them much of the year? Can they score? How about their three-point shooting ability? I like that. I love Kelvin Sampson. The game against Purdue the other night, how about that game-winning play? Although they should have never had the opportunity to do it. They missed an obvious offensive foul on Houston on the last possession with the game tied. Purdue was brilliant in that game to hang in there because they were not as good talent-wise. So we'll have time this week to talk about the Final Four in more detail. Looking forward to it. I mean, 4-1s, two really good matchups, two rather short point spreads. I think right now Florida is actually favored over Auburn. They're a 2.5-point favorite, and I think Duke is a 4-point favorite over Houston. What was that Baylor-Gonzaga line? Do you remember it from the championship game?
I do not remember it. It was. I think it was shorter.
I had Baylor. I know that.
Yeah, but I think it was shorter than we thought. Let me see if I can find that Baylor-Gonzaga.
I can go back and find it, too. Was that... That wasn't COVID, was it?
Was it that was the year after back. COVID? Yeah, 21? It was the first one back from it.
It was the first one back?
Yeah.
I got it right here. Gonzaga was a 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, Baylor was not the favorite in that one.
Yeah. Gonzaga was favored by 4.5. Duke right now favored by 4.5 over Houston. Do you see what I see, like grown men versus younger college kids? Not that Cooper Flagg isn't totally capable.
I do, but I really love... I think Duke is super locked in.
I think they are too, because there's so is Houston.
I think Houston is, but Houston has this weird tendency. They did not have it against Tennessee. But they've had this weird tendency to let teams get back into games. The thing I've noticed about Duke is once they get on top of you, you're not getting back in. Like, they are just too good. They're too talented. They're not going to let you get back into the ballgame.
And did you know about this other tournament that's going on right now that GW and Georgetown are in tonight?
The Crown? I thought it was a Netflix show.
Somebody mentioned to me yesterday that, are you going to watch The Crown? I said, my wife watches it. I'm not into it. Why? Is it really good? No. These are a couple of my Villanova friends that I was with. They said, Nova's in The Crown. I'm like, what are you talking about? There is a 16-team event out in Vegas. Four games tonight, four games tomorrow night. Then you go to quarterfinals, semifinals, final. GW's playing Boise today at 5:30, and Georgetown's playing Washington State tonight at 11. Go get him, Ed Cooley. Go win the crown.
Next year will be called Baby Year.
All the games are in Vegas. All right, this guy John Talty from CBS Sports next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.